Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
Disaster or hilarity? Really depends on how you want to look at it. I'm not talking about Biden. I'm talking about my shirt. I have this really nice shirt on, and I do this thing with the pen where I flip it around on my fingers, and it just drew on me. I was just starting the day. I'm already drawing on myself. Speaking of disasters, desperation, if you guys take it, somebody needs to eat and pure at the White House. That is desperation. Gas tax holiday? What?
With AAA predicting one of the busiest July 4th travel periods in two decades, President Biden is expected to formally call on Congress to temporarily suspend the federal gas tax.
I drive for a living, so every little bit helps.
The move would save drivers about 18 cents per gallon and 24 cents per gallon for diesel.
Oh, man, that's desperation. It's 18 cents. Now, I know what you say, Chad, shut up. I could use the 18 cents. I get it. Look, all of us are in agreement. Gas, too damn high. But it's not a fix. And it's temporary, and it's not even a go. That's the other thing. It's not even a go. You got to get through all the hoops and the hurdles and the whatchanots and, this he's begging the states, right? Like, hey, come on, guys.
The federal tax is about 18 cents, but state gas taxes average about 30 cents a gallon. President Biden is expected to pressure states to suspend that tax as well.
So there, but let's not forget this, okay? It is temporary. All right. Oh, yeah, it's just temporary. Secondly, we have to pay that money back. Once again, we're borrowing against the future. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, Chad, you know. Mm-hmm. But 50 cents, because the average would be 48 cents. I'm in Arizona. I think we have 18 cents state, 18 cents federal, so 36 cents. Am I going to scoff at 36 cents a gallon? I am not. I am not going to do such things, but it still feels desperate. Like you're going to the states now. Go states, help us. We're in a lot of this mess because, look, there's no doubt. I'm saying Putin's price hike, whatever. Putin played a portion in this. It is that's undeniable. And if you say, no, it's not, it did. But so much of it is our own doing. We went being from energy independent to this perfect storm of people going back to work. We've stopped drilling in this country. Now when prices are up, there's no reason to drill. And why would you want to drill if you've got to jump through all those hoops? We talked yesterday about the whole SpaceX thing where they want to launch a rocket from Boca Chica, Texas, and they have to do book reports about, you know, the Civil War and the Mexican War and book reports about, you know, they got to give money to the Ocelot Foundation. It's the regulations and the BS. Now imagine that when you're drilling on federal property or when you're drilling just about anywhere, the insanity and the regulation and the overregulation. And you wonder why they don't want to go out and just say, oh, sounds like a great idea. What are we going to do? You can meet with them all you want, former Senator Grantham, now the Energy Secretary.
Executives from seven companies are set to meet tomorrow with Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm as the administration looks for new solutions and ways to boost refining capacity, which is down more than 5% since the pandemic.
Here's a perfect example. Well, how do we boost refining capacity? What's the capacity? Well, it's this. Well, then we need more of those. Well, we're not building more of those. When's the last time we built one? The 70s. So you're telling me the last time we built a refinery was in the 70s? Yeah, the last time we built a refinery was in the 70s. Yeah. So we need more of those? Yeah. But you can't build one. I don't know. You stumped me. I don't know what to do. I don't know. CEO of Chevron.
Days after the White House sent a letter to big oil executives blasting them for enjoying record profits while keeping supplies low, Chevron's CEO responded yesterday, saying the White House has largely sought to criticize and at times vilify our industry. These actions are not beneficial to meeting the challenges we face.
Yeah, that's true. Remember, he's been talking about it for years. They want to destroy the industry. They want to get rid of the industry. They want to destroy the industry. They want to get rid of the industry. They've gone after it over and over again. Let's go back. Friday night, Bill Maher.
In 2020, Biden said no more drilling on federal lands.
And look, no Keystone Pipeline. Antagonizing Saudi Arabia.
Oh,
now he's going back to Saudi Arabia hat in hand. And now he's going back to them hat in hand to get them to increase their production.
Look, I wish we were all off fossil fuels forever.
Sure.
But the truth is that when people get off fossil fuels before they have a replacement, they wind up going back to even worse fossil fuels. Germany said, we don't want nuclear power anymore.
Yep. True.
And what did they have to go back to? Coal.
And Russian gas.
And basically the same thing happened here. We said, Saudi Arabia, go f*** yourself. You killed a journalist. And now Biden is going over there hat in hand begging them for oil because people want their gas.
Which is pathetic.
It's true. It's true. People want their gas. They do. They want their energy. How much of the global energy is green? About 3%. So soak that up if you think fossil fuels are going anywhere. Soak that up. It's not. It's not. It's not going to happen anytime soon. We're not even prepared for it if it did. And trust me, government will figure out a way to come in and re-regulate stuff to the point where it no longer is worth being green. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. Love hearing from all of you. I do. Could we get an actual gun reform bill that's real? Could this actually happen? Some stuff yesterday coming out that, yes, there's a deal in the Senate. Remember, this is a long way to go. It's the devil's in the details, the fine print, the whole nine yards. It's going to go from the Senate back to the House. The House will do whatever the House is going to do. And I'm sure Pelosi and them will come up with, oh, my God, look at this. We don't like this. This seems like a semi-common sense reform. Let's throw some other stuff in there. Like, you can't. Okay, you can own a gun, but you can't own a bullet. You can own a bullet, but you can't own a gun.
In the Senate, 60 is the magic number, and they did four better.
The yeas are 64, the nays are 34, and the motion is agreed to.
Which means the full Senate can now debate and vote on the gun reform bill that would give states incentives to use red flag laws, look into juvenile records for gun sales, and improve mental health programs to prevent mass shootings. The full vote could come this week.
Yeah, because remember, they're getting ready to go on their little vacation where they're just going to be doing, you know, vacation-y things. I mean, could it happen? It's possible. I mean, it really is. It should. You know, my uncle is a, you know, he and I argue all the time. We're business partners, best friends. We argue all the time about all kinds of stuff. He and I were talking last night with a couple other people. When it comes to gun reform, can we have gun reform? Yeah. It shouldn't be that hard. Well, what are you talking about? If you're old enough to die for your country. Yeah, if you're old enough to die for your country. Everybody said, if you're old enough to die for your country, you should be able to own a gun. True. But here's the thing. You dying for your country, they don't just send you out in day one to die for said country. Hey, you signed up. Fantastic. Why don't you go over and fight a war? What am I doing? I don't know. It's up to you. It's up to you. You're here, right? So you passed the check and you ran a mile in 4 days or whatever they do nowadays. I don't even know if they ask you to do that. It might be too insensitive. But they train, right? And as I was explaining to him, the difference between like states, and this is the beauty of states' rights, is California and Arizona, two different ways you can purchase a gun. Having some uniformity and like, hey, you know what? A little bit stricter on the background checks. Maybe you don't get the gun right now. Maybe you're going to have to come back in 3 or 4 days after you've done the check. Maybe, right? Maybe to get certain guns, you're going to have some training, take a class. Shouldn't be that hard. It shouldn't. But at the end of the day, we make it hard because politics.
Mr. President, 28 days ago, an 18-year-old young man opened fire on students at the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. He murdered 21 people. This was an attack that was so cruel, so brutal, and inhumane that it has brought much of our nation to its knees in mourning. Since the shooting, my office has received tens of thousands of calls and letters and emails with a singular message. Do something. Not do nothing, but do something.
Yeah, not do nothing, but do something. The thing is, to do something for the sake of something, that's what government ends up doing, right? They're going to do something for the sake of it because they want to check a box. And John Cornyn said, no, I don't want to do that.
I don't want us to pass a bill for the purpose of checking a box. I want to make sure we actually do something useful, something that is capable of becoming a law, something that will have the potential to save lives.
That's a Republican right there. So it's fair to have a conversation. This is how adults operate in the adult world, where you sit down and you talk. Like, look, obviously, you know, as much as we love guns in this country, we do have an issue with anger. So what's going on? Yes, some of it is young men who want to settle their beef. They got beef with somebody and they're settling it with a gun because they think that's what you do. But there's also a lot of other underlying anger. And the access for bad people to get guns is easy. It's not about hurting the law-abiding citizen. You not being responsible shouldn't hurt me, who's a responsible individual. At the same time, as a responsible individual, I understand that being responsible comes responsibilities like making sure people who may want to do certain things have a little tough time trying to do those things. You come together, you try to find out, all right, where are the obstacles? They're here. Let's put those over here. Where are our solutions? Where do we agree upon? They're right there. All right, now we can address the obstacles. It'll be easier to do it when we're united than divided. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show's your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. A little Woke Wednesday coming up as well. A lot of good stuff. All right, kids, MyPillow's got deals galore. The BOGO's still going on, but the huge deal is that, of course, the My Slipper. The My Slipper. Four layers when it comes to your feet when you're walking, right? It took them 2 years to develop. So it's got a four-tier cushioning system, includes the MyPillow patented fill, comfort memory foam, patented impact gel, and the sole indoor-outdoor. Wear it all the time. It is fantastic. Made with a quality leather suede, machine washable, 6-day money-back guarantee, 1-year limited warranty. Here's the thing. Normally, $139.99. For you right now, $49.98. Massive deal. Now's your chance to save. You go to MyPillow.com/Benson or call 800-983-4975. Use code Benson. The My Slippers are only $49.95. When you're there, take advantage of all the other deep discounts. Like we said, the BOGO is still going on. The buy one, get one free. And the My Pillows, the sheets, the towels, you name it. MyPillow.com/Benson. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Podcasts are American as hot dogs, apple pie, football, and sushi.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Okay, maybe not sushi. Next time you have a craving for something sweet and tangy, download a Chad Benson Show podcast.
Boy, that is good. It's different because you get a little bit of saltiness.
It's so good because it's sweet and salty at the same time.
Get a taste on iTunes, iHeart, or Spotify and binge to your ears content.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
And I know that inflation is your number one concern, but can you talk a little bit about if you're doing anything at all to prevent a recession?
We're in a moment of transition. We are in a unique situation with our with the historical gains with our economy. The way that we see it is unemployment rate has held steady at 3.6, which is also near historic lows. Business investment remains strong. Middle class Americans had an additional $10,000 in savings then before the pandemic.
What? What are you talking about? Yeah, you know what? Historic low with unemployment. That's true. You know, it was true with the guy that was here before, too. having an additional save. When you send people money, that doesn't really count as like, hey, we saved it all up because the economy's doing so well. No, a lot of it was we stopped down. We gave a lot of people money. And you know, that's Karine Jean-Pierre, KJP. She's the latest person that will, you know, for those of you guys who don't know who she has taken over for Jen Psaki, the Ice Queen, who has gone on to millions of dollars at MSNBC. Good work if you can get it. But, you know, I'll say something for you know, it's a hella job because you got to go out there. Everybody's going to, you know, you've got some people that are against you. You've got some people that are they're going to throw you softballs. You know, right now they are not throwing softballs because they're realizing, hey, our readers and our listeners and our viewers, they're not happy with what's going on. We need better ask some real questions. She is all over the place all the time. And then when she's done, you're like, what?
Another analysis found that all income groups had higher checking account balances at the end of March than they had pre-pandemic. So we see that the strengths that we, our economic strength that we have seen from this past year, from the action that the president has taken with the American Rescue Plan, the historical gains, that is going to help us deal with the recession. Right now, we don't see a recession right now. That is not, we're not in a recession right now. Right now, we're in a transition.
Huh? No idea what you're talking about. No idea. We're in a transition. Lots of transitioning. We're going off fossil fuels, transitioning to what? Green energy, which we're not prepared for. And on the other side of stuff, we're transitioning now from not in a recession to in a recession to not in a recession. I'm unclear on how this is all working. I'm still trying to figure out. So we contracted last quarter. Do we feel like we've grown in this quarter? I do not. This quarter's getting ready to come to an end. Would I be surprised that we stayed steady or grew a little bit? Meh. You know, maybe. Would I be surprised if we contracted even more? Because remember, you don't know you're in a recession until what? You're in a recession. So we shall see. We shall see what happens. Oh, a poor lady. 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. Little woke Wednesday. Some more on the Uvalde shooting as it just gets worse and worse and worse. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
That is me. You are you. We're just having a really good conversation off air. Yesterday here in Arizona, we've got a controversy as always. Carrie Lake, who is running to be the governor of the great state of Arizona. She was a news anchor for years, right? Like big news anchor here in the Valley, arguably the biggest. And she was a huge supporter of Obama, all these things. Now she's, as I say, she feels like a cheap version of Trump. And Trump's endorsed her, and she, we've got this big thing about, you know, the trans thing, right? Like the trans thing when it comes to all of the battles that go on, like should, you know, trans kids play sports, et cetera, and what are they teaching kids in school? All things that are very, it's an honest conversation to have. And if you have it in a real way that's not trying to impress anybody and you can keep it at a human level, which we've lost the point because we're no longer trying to have a conversation. What we're trying to do is impress other people by going after other people. But one of the things was the drag queen stuff. Like, do I think drag queens should be reading to kids in classrooms? No, I don't. Do I care if you go see a drag queen show? No, I don't. Go for it. Knock yourself out. I've lived in Palm Springs for 8 years. I've been to a drag queen show. It is, you know, it was very campy. It was. We sat there, we laughed, and we moved on with our lives. So she, being Carrie Lake, she is, oh, I'm going to get rid of that. There's not going to be any of these things, et cetera, et cetera. And a drag queen that has known her for 20 years came on the show yesterday. And it was very interesting because, you know, she said, look, she was still in costume at the time because she said she did something earlier. So I was joking. I was asking her questions both as Richard and Barbara, depending on what answer we were looking for. He was like, look, I've known her for 20 years, right? And he released all these pictures on Twitter and Instagram and stuff of them together. And you know, and Carrie's on, you know, another show last night. Like, oh, I've never met her. But she was at a friend's house and she just happened to be there. But I've never met her. And it's a bunch. First of all, again, you're an adult, so who cares what you do? But the thing that drove me crazy was I said, you know, coming to the program is Richard, you know, a.k.a. Barbara Seville. That was her name. The disdain that I got from people of you just dead name somebody. You're so out of your depth, you don't even understand. And I start laughing. And so finally in the middle of the interview, I said, hey, Richard, why do they call you Richard? He's like, because that's my name. I said, did I dead name you? He goes, no. He goes, Barbara Seville is the character I play. I go, what? But some people, by the way, which aren't part of the alphabet mafia, some people call them, they're just so angry and they want to get you at something and they're all about destroying and it's taking over. It is so hilarious. It is. So I'd explain to everybody, look, a drag queen can be a straight male, can be a gay male, could be a straight. Yes, it can be. And a drag queen is playing a part. They don't walk around all day as Barbara Seville or we were doing our drag names. One of my names was Orgasma Lake. No relation to Carrie. And we were laughing. But the attack, because people are pissed and angry, and it's part of that woke culture. It's part of that woke culture. And because it is Wednesday and because we do like to get woke, are you ready? Let's do it.
This support group is for people who are so woke that they are finding it impossible to have any fun at all.
It's that time of the week where we break it down for you and get you woke.
Okay, everyone, welcome.
Are you ready?
Well, I try, but I find it deeply problematic.
Now, I've actually always wanted to try a cheeky little taste of acting better than someone due to something arbitrary.
You can try the patronizing special.
I think you find it's pronounced patronizing.
It's time for Woke Wednesday.
That's right. Woke Wednesday. We're getting woke indeed. And I look around and you know, one of the things, too, is that we've been chatting about even off the air is, and Anthony brought up a great point, and we've talked about it a lot before, especially with the younger generation in general. But in a lot of these movements, it's no longer about. It's about them. And I'm not talking about the movement. It's about them. It's like it's me. It's my truth. And I keep telling people, like when it comes to kids in particular, you've got older teachers who are there to teach and they do their thing. They're not interested in being activists, but you can't push all the kids that we have pushed through and young adults through college, where college is so far left, where any ideology that isn't woke or liberal isn't wanted on campus, and not think that you're going to spit out a bunch of people that when they take up the mantle of teaching, that they're not going to be living in the world of the side of the left and believe that part of the things they should be teaching is the activist lifestyle. Case in point, another preschool teacher.
The last day, I finally decided to come out to my kids. And my kids are older. They're 4 and 5.
That's not older!
The way that I did it is just read him a book about this teddy bear that kind of comes out as a trans girl. And it's really nice and it's very simple. They understood it right away. And I think what made me cry the most was that afterwards, like, I kind of looked at them and there was just this silence in the room. And I just thought, like, oh my God, now they see me as a totally different person. And before this, they loved me. I was such, you know, one of their favorite teachers. And it felt so good to have that.
But again, this is about you. You're not there. I thought the whole thing was to be selfless. No, it's about you. It's a look at me. It's about you. Part of that wokeness. So you've got to live it. Oh yeah. This is what it is. It's about this person. It's about their truth.
one of the biggest fears I had is that as soon as they found out about me, they would lose all love for me. And then one of my kids breaks the silence and she gets up and she just is like, she just hugs me. And she's just like, everyone give Ruti a hug. And they all came and they gave me a hug. And she was just like, we love you. Like, we love you so much. And it made me really emotional. And it was, I think, one of the biggest moments in my transition where I truly felt like at peace with who I am and that like even kids can understand it.
No, they don't. They don't understand it because they're kids. Stop pushing it off on kids, right? You know, the whole, like, lies about the don't say gay bill. Look, I have a son that's 12. We talk about stuff. Age appropriate for the age that fits and the understanding, right? Like, I don't sit there and talk geopolitical with him. Why? Because he doesn't get it. Right? I'm not talking the breakdown of what's going on in the stock market. I tell them, hey, this thing's good. This thing's good. We talk about, but you don't break it down because it's age appropriate. This is age appropriate. 4 year olds. My kids are older. They're 4. That's not old. This isn't the Wild West where everybody died at 10. It's not. And once again, it's about you. You can understand how people are worried and upset if you're a parent. I'm a parent, and I'm fortunate. Jack goes to a school where, I will say this, it is a good portion of it is Asian. And guess what? The Asian families, they don't play the game of this. It's a STEM school. It's go to school. It's learn. They're not here for you to teach about gender or CRT. They're here to learn, which is something we should be teaching. Instead of everything about emotions. Once again, it's about them.
Even kids can accept me, and so it doesn't make any sense when adults can't. Because if a kid can, why can't a f***ing adult understand and accept? And I've actually been having a lot of conversations recently about this, just in general, about this idea that, like, queer people are indoctrinating kids. And, like, that Texas law that's going to ban drag queens from interacting with kids. I mean, all of this legislation and these conversations coming up about it. And I just had a moment where I came out to my kids and they accepted me fully.
Yeah. Good. Good. I mean, I don't think you should not accept people. Let them be who they are. But the indoctrination side of stuff, I'm sorry. There is stuff going on. And once again, you may not think you're indoctrinating. But there are powers that be that have hijacked the movement and using the movement to get the things they want. And they're using people who struggle, who maybe have issues socially, they have anxiety, they may have some mental problems, and they take advantage of these kids and don't think that it doesn't get passed on. And to me, I find it frustrating, but you're always making it about you. Look, if you're trans, knock yourself out. If that's what makes you happy, if those are the things that you believe, once again, and anybody who sits there and says that you're an awful human being, they're awful. But it's a sense that you continue to push in certain areas and there's a worry about it and there's a right to be worried about it. Because it does go on and people say, you're over it. It's not. Remember, little things. It's the whole frog analogy we talk about, right? You throw a frog inside of a scalding, you know, thing of water, jumps out. But if you slowly turn it on and it acclimatizes itself. Kind of scenario. Kind of true in a lot of ways. And this is one of those things. Bill Maher talked a bit about, too, the fact that you can't, you know, it's no longer just being about supportive, right? Like, yeah, whatever, I accept you. It's more than that.
And now it's gone from persuasion to coercion.
Right.
Making people bake cakes for a wedding, making people demonstrate their support for the Gay Pride Month. This is absurd. We don't need this. We don't need this.
Yeah. No, they don't. Don't. If you're gay, be gay. Great. If you're straight, be straight. Fine. I accept you all. Love everybody. We're good. But enough of the baloney and acting like, oh, it's not a big deal, but you better accept me or else, and this is my truth. And it's about you, and you are always looking to be offended. Which to me is just, again, I don't know how people wake up in the morning looking to be offended. It is mind-boggling, but it happens. Let's go back a few years, shall we? You know, It's a guy named Andy Griffith. He was a good guy. He's a bad guy. Okay, whatever. I mean, that's the way you guys probably look at it. Some of you, a younger generation, people are like, who's Andy Griffith? He had some words of wisdom.
Why not let him decide?
No, I'm afraid it don't work that way. You can't let a young'un decide for himself. He'll grab at the first flashy thing with shiny ribbons on it. Then when he finds out there's a hook in it, it's too late. Wrong ideas come packaged with so much glitter, it's hard to convince them that other things might be better in the long run. All a parent can do is try to keep temptation away.
Yeah. And that's very true. It's very, very true. Again, it doesn't matter if they're young and they want to get married, or they want to take out a massive loan on something and somebody's willing to do it, or all of these things that you know, you would think, it's a bad idea. Sit down, wait. There's nothing wrong with that. There isn't. But when you've got a movement behind you that has other things on their mind and it's more about themselves, and you're just a cog in the wheel, but it's a necessary cog that they need, they'll use you. And then they'll expect you to do some bidding for them, all the while celebrating you. It's not right. It isn't. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program, roughgreens.com/jig. Rough Greens is amazing. Give it to my dog every single day, Toodle. Sprinkle on top of his food, vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega 369. The puppies get it as well. Like the puppies, they're younger. They're like 2 years old. But for Doodle, it's, you know, he's older, and it's the improvement is so vast from where he was. I mean, it's crazy where he was 4 years ago to where he is now. 4 years ago, we're thinking about putting him to sleep because he was in pain. 4 years later, he's bouncy, he's happy. It's amazing. Dr. Dennis Black has done an amazing job. He wants you to try it. In fact, he swears by it so much, he's going to give you a free bag. You go to ruffgreens.com/chat, ruffgreens.com/chat. When you do, they're going to send you a bag for free. You cover the cost of shipping. Ruffgreens.com/Chad. Ruffgreens.com/Chad. Chad Benson Show.
You stink like fear and white male privilege to me.
I do often out myself verbally as agender. My pronouns are they, them, and I'm proud to be agender.
Are you stupid?
Robin! What? Are you kidding me?
Not a great way to use your white privilege.
Some people get it. Some people don't.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Beyonce's new song, all about the great resignation? That's what the internet thinks about Break My Soul, which the singer released Monday night.
I just quit my job. I'm gonna find no drive. Damn, they work me so damn hard.
The memes flying fast and furious, with people saying they're ready to quit Beyonce style. And it's probably only a matter of time before we see TikToks mashing up the song with people walking off the job. Break My Soul is the first single off Beyonce's upcoming album, Renaissance, out July 19th.
You guys can't see me, but I'm dancing in here. What? It's funny because the Great Resignation, right? So that's like, that's a thing. Here's what happened, right? We've got a gig economy. People got pushed home because of COVID. So they're pushed home. They go home. They like being home. Along the way, they're doing side gigs. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And they're finding that they don't want to go back and work for somebody. They like freedom. So they figure out, you know what? I can't make 50 grand a year doing this because I got to be in a certain place. But what I can do is I can make 15,000 doing this. I can make 15,000 doing that. And I can make 10,000 doing that. That's 40 grand, but I don't have to go drive in. I save money on, you know, the kids and all, you know, what it would cost after school and daycare. And you start adding it up, and all of a sudden, you piecemeal together working for yourself. And that's so much of what the Great Resignation, quote unquote, was, is people just they didn't want it. They want to go back, and that's understandable. Now, if you are going back, it's the greatest time ever. It is. I mean, it's the greatest time ever if you're thinking about heading back to work or you're looking for a gig. Like, I want a job, because you can go in and get yourself into a position where, hey, you know what? They're paying me extra. I only have to be here 3.5 days a week. I can work out of the house, or I don't have to be. I get Fridays off or whatever you negotiate for yourself. They're giving me this, that, and the other. It's a great time because people are desperate for workers. And if you're not a mouth breather, you're going to be okay. And if you are a mouth breather, at least for now, you'll be all right.
The American Lifeguards Association estimates a shortage of lifeguards this summer will impact a third of U.S. pools. Why the shortage? Several reasons, says the group. First, the cancellation of lifeguard certification courses early in the pandemic meant no new lifeguards and existing ones not able to renew their certifications. Then during the pandemic, those lifeguards finding better paying jobs. And the final straw, says the group, the Trump administration's banning foreign work visas. That ban's expired, but the group's saying it'll take a while to solve the problem.
I didn't know we had a lot of foreign lifeguards coming in. Did you guys? I didn't know that was a big thing. By the way, finding a better job, unless you're in California, because I don't know if we talked about L.A. County last week, their lifeguards. They have lifeguards that have made $500,000 with overtime. So depends on if you're working at a pool down at the rec or if you're an actual lifeguard down at the beach and you got all the stuff that goes along with being part of a city or state employee. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show. Independent thoughts. Independent life. This is Chad Benson.
As we move towards gun control, the more we find out about the nightmare that happened on that day in Uvalde, Texas, and the fact that they continue to lie about it and lie about it and lie and lie. It's not even the fact that, look, who wouldn't be scared, right? You're running into a situation where you're being told, hey, you know, we showed up and all we had is our revolvers, right? We had those old style revolvers back from the 50s. You know, that's all we had, right? Now, we only had one bullet, right? But whatever, you know, they came out. We just had paint guns. We were all paint gun fighting. And all of a sudden, that's all we had left. To me, it's still your job. It's still what you go and do, right? But then you think to yourself, nobody stood back for a second and goes, hey, guys, we're all wearing cameras, and there's cameras everywhere. The fact that they showed up within a few minutes, one of them said, apparently he entered the room, saw him, but didn't want to hit the kids. Understandable, but I think the damage was done at that point. But the continual lies after lies after lies, and the police chief that is just, who's also a member of the city council, who's like, well, I didn't know who was in charge. You're the police chief, for God's sakes. What do you mean you don't know who's in charge? Who did you think was in charge? Isn't that your gig? I mean, you're in charge, right? This isn't one of those movies where the FBI rolls up and we are circumventing your jurisdiction and we are now, you know, usurping your power. That didn't happen. It didn't.
There is some policies in place that basically say you cannot ask for a city council member to be removed until he has been in there for 8 months. So by making him show up to these city council meetings, if he doesn't show up several times, there is an idea that he is abandoning his position, and then the city council can take some sort of action. So right now, this will force him to come out of the hole that he's been hiding in.
Yeah, and that's Arredondo, who's the police chief. And showing up at the city council meeting, he wants to get basically an absence excuse because people have questions. Why did you lie? Why did you fail? Why did you continue to lie? Why did you continue to fail? Why did you continue to lie after the fact that you failed? Why did you tell everybody this, that, and the other? Why? You're compounding people's griefs by continually lying about it. You're compounding people's grief by continuing to change the story on a daily basis. Oh, we didn't have this, or we weren't prepared, or we didn't have this, or I don't know who was in. I mean, every day it's something new.
I think they realize that they are losing the PR campaign, that their community does not trust any elected official right now, especially Chief Arredondo. What this is going to do is it's going to force him to show up for city council meetings, to come out in the public and to face the music to some extent.
Yeah. Yeah. So remember, he was the police chief. And within a few days of the shooting, he was sworn in because he was voted in for city council. And he has been a disaster and continues to be a disaster. And the fact is, what a joke. What an absolute, abject, failure. That is putting it lightly. The fact that mothers and fathers were trying to get in the school because they were at a position where they did not care. The desperation was so great that they did not care. They were willing to go in unarmed to try to save their children and other people's children. They were willing to do that. And the fact that you were like, I didn't even know who was in charge. Is, oh my God. What was it yesterday we found out? One of them had entered the room, that the door was never even locked. That, first of all, why is that a, because apparently not only was the door not locked, apparently the locks didn't even work. But why is that a deterrent? Well, we can't get in because the door's locked. So you're just done? My goodness me. My goodness, what an absolute debacle. Abject failure indeed. 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show's your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text said program. Could they get a deal done? Is it possible? I think it's possible that they're going to get something done as the Senate has now advanced the conversation to a portion where they can sit down and actually debate said thing and have a vote.
In the Senate, 60 is the magic number, and they did four better.
The yeas are 64, the nays are 34, and the motion is agreed to.
Which means the full Senate can now debate and vote on the gun reform bill that would give states incentives to use red flag laws, look into juvenile records for gun sales, and improve mental health programs to prevent mass shootings. The full vote could come this week.
Yeah, could. And then again, it's going to advance and they're going to go back and forth. And what it looks like now, even if they get something passed, is something that probably, like a movie script we always talk about, it never really emulates the book. It'll come out and, well, that's weird. Like, where does that come from? There's some loopholes. The boyfriend loophole is one of the ones that they've talked about. Mental health is obviously a big thing. And if you don't know what the boyfriend loophole is, if you are dating somebody, but you don't live with them, you've never been married, and you don't have a kid with them, if you get into an argument, a fight, you stalk, you hit, whatever, they're not going to be put on a list where they could have their guns taken away. Okay? So they want to close that loophole that if you're a domestic abuser, regardless of your situation, regardless of the situation with that you didn't date this person for very long, or maybe it'll have been on a date or two, that you could still be in a position where you could, have your guns taken away. And if I'm John Cornyn, who's out there, I want to make it clear that while we're looking at all of these things, the other thing we're doing is when it comes to mental health checks and several of these other things is we want to make sure there's a pathway back for people who are judged to not be mentally incompetent, right? Not be a danger to themselves or society, or that if they are tried for something and they're not convicted, that they can get their stuff back, which not just guns. I mean, there's problems across the board with you know, the seizing of people's properties and never giving it back. And that needs to be made plainly clear. That, yes, there is a road back for sure to make sure they get their stuff back. At least once or twice a year, we hear stories of somebody's like, yeah, you know, I worked for, 15 years and I saved up all my lunch money. And I got $40,000 cash and I was going to go buy a boat. And I get pulled over and they think it's drug money and they took it from me. And you're just like, what? You know, and the state's like, well, yeah, we thought that he was doing, you know, he was a drug dealer. Why? Because he had cash? Yeah. And because of that, we took it from him. Yeah. But you guys have never even, you didn't charge him with anything and you've not convicted him of anything. So you've got to make sure that there's a pathway that is not 10 years of court cases. Absolute must. But yes, you know what? As an adult who has guns and as an adult who at age 51 understands responsibility, and it took a while to get there, and I sure in the hell wasn't responsible at 18. We can ask some questions about age. And when I hear the, oh, but at 18 you can go die for your country. You can. But they don't send you to die on the first day. They put you through a few training, like at least a week, maybe a couple hours at least. Well, yeah, that's true. It's kind of true, too. Maybe they do that. So asking people to take an extra step, and for all the gun owners out there, and many of them feel the same way, as a responsible individual, I understand there are people out there who are not responsible. And part of the freedoms that I have come with responsibilities. And we should embrace them and realize that, yes, while it may be annoying at times, I take my responsibilities and I hold them dear and I understand and I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to be free and have these responsibilities. And I don't take them for granted. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. They're trying to give us free stuff like gas tax money.
With AAA predicting one of the busiest July 4th travel periods in two decades, President Biden is expected to formally call on Congress to temporarily suspend the federal gas tax.
I drive for a living, so every little bit helps.
The move would save drivers about 18 cents per gallon and 24 cents per gallon for diesel.
Yeah. Biden also wants the states to also have a gas tax holiday, which if the average, you know, is 30 cents. And so it's about 50 cents you would get on average a gallon, which look, nobody's going to poo-poo. That's $5, right? You're filling up, you get a 50, you put $50 in there, you know, or you're going to, you know, hey, oh my God, I'm going to save, you know, if I got 10 gallons, that's okay. Save $10. I mean, $5. That's good. It's good. But it's not a real fix. It's not. All it is a temporary fix, but eventually these will expire. We'll have to pay the money back tax wise. They'll figure out a way to get it, and we'll be taking money away from roads and whatnot. And on top of all of that stuff, what's it going to be like when it expires and people are used to at least having gas back in the $4 range in some states, the $3 range in some other states, and it jumps overnight 50 cents? Yeah, they're not going to want to do that. They're not going to want to hear that. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show. It's your Twitter. Tweet at us. Eden Pure, EdenPureDeals.com. Go there. Use code CHAD3. Save $200 on the greatest air purifiers around. Plug them straight into said wall. What happens at that point? You let them go. Let them go. Let them go. And they get rid of the stink. Stank is gone. There's no stank in the house. Why? Because of the Eden Pure. It's incredible. The OxyLeaf 2. Does not mask said odors. It eliminates them. Yeah, the little things come out and there's like laser beams. It's amazing. It's incredible. You don't have to buy air purifiers, but it makes your house smell. It's the OxyLeaf 2 Thunderstorm, a little bit like a thunderstorm, and it's amazing. It's incredible. The strongest odors are no match for the Eden Pure. How do you get one, two, and three? Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use code CHAD3. EdenPureDeals.com. Code CHAD3. When you do that, You're going to save $200 and you get free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, code CHAD3. Little What's Trending, straight ahead. Chad Benson Show.
Hashtag me too. Hashtag immigration reforms. Hashtag help. I'm trapped in a hashtag factory and I can't get out. The Chad Benson Show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Liftoff.
Now it's time to find out
what's trending. What's trending? Yeah, what does that mean? I mean something, right? Like it's trending on the old internet. What's trending? Let's find out what's trending on the old webs of the inter, shall we play a game? Starts with Twitter. Oh, man, so much crazy stuff going on in the Twitter world. Juul e-cigarettes could be ordered off the U.S. market by the FDA as soon as today. What? Bloomberg Politics has an interesting article that's trending right now. Liz Cheney is paying the price in her home state for crossing Trump. Because, you know, some people are going to pay the price. You thought you were doing what's right. And you crossed, quote unquote, the Trump line. Some that have crossed the Trump line, they won't pay a price because they're more beloved in the state. You know, Mitt Romney's one of those. Mitt Romney is, he's not. They can get mad at him all they want. You know, not that he's up for anything, but they can get mad at him all they want in D.C. But the reality is he's, you know, in for lack of better terms, kind of a god in the Utah. So there you go. But yeah, she is paying the price. That's for sure. That is absolutely for sure on that. Head over to Google. It's always interesting on Google. Lots of stuff. Elon Musk. People asking questions. Why aren't you done with the deal yet for Twitter? Bill Cosby, if you guys didn't hear, we'll touch on a little bit. He was convicted of sexually abusing a teenager. Civilly convicted. Civil conviction. Not the old criminal one. They just looked at him and said, yeah, you know, back in the 70s when she was 16, first of all, two things. Why is she at a Playboy Mansion party? And secondly, you're a scumbag. This is kind of the thing. I don't know if that's what they said. I don't know if the... Hey, Your Honor, can we add one other thing? Well, sure. Yeah, he's a scumbag. He is. We were talking the other day about, because it was Father's Day, like the greatest dads of all time and TV dads. And I think it was, you know, Charles Barkley that talked about the fact that he was one of the great TV dads of all time because it's because a black family got to see a successful black man who was a doctor, a successful black woman who was a lawyer, whose family was totally intact and all of those things. And I kept going back, Good Times, the Jeffersons, because I don't know if you guys remember this, he moved on up. Man, I love the Jeffersons. That was my dad and I, that was one of our favorite shows of all time. We loved Sanford and Son because it was just so great. That's who I said was one of the great dads of all time. Fred Sanford, because he was coming, Elizabeth. Never went. Finally went. But, man. But it's understandable, right? Like, it's totally understandable with that. But he was such, you know, as we found out. But the funny thing is, like a lot of these guys, everybody knew. Everybody knew. But eventually, something happens and people break through. And then it's a tsunami, right? Everybody knew about Hannibal Buress, talked about it for years. He was one of the only people that wasn't sued. And eventually, the comedian continued. It changed. The tides changed. But everybody was terrified of him because he would sue you and break you. But eventually, people broke through, and they got him. Of course, he's out of jail because of something that shouldn't have happened. But did. Still a scumbag, though. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
That's me. You are you. God bless each and every one of you for doing your thing, for doing your thing to make America great again. Chad, you did the MAGA thing. Actually, remember, MAGA is stolen. I tell everybody this all the time, and nobody believes me. I will actually, maybe today, actually post something. We joke about it around here, but MAGA has been around a lot longer than Trump. MAGA is the Mexican-American Golf Association. I have a hat in here from them and a golf ball. Because my producer on my local show, his uncle's one of the big wigs over at the Mexican-American Golf Association. And he talks all the time how pissed he was that MAGA was stolen by Trump. You were talking about Trump earlier, you know, because like people tweet at me because they're just full of just fun. Was that you are so anti-Trump lies and propaganda. What makes you fit in with the other traitors here at the local station? What will you do when the truth comes out? Will you admit you were wrong? Doubt it. That's out of curiosity. What's the truth that's going to come out? Just, I'm curious. Is it that they had no evidence? I've said all along, I have zero problem with looking into stuff. Do I think we should willy-nilly send out a bunch of stuff to people where they could just, hey, here's a bunch of ballots, vote willy-nilly? No. No, I don't think we should. At the same time, you have to have evidence. It's not what you know, it's what you can prove. And the thing is now, even if you believe something, but you can't prove it, that should be enough for truth. Rusty Bowers, who's a very nice gentleman, who's one of the heads here in Arizona, he's the head legislator here in Arizona at the local level. He was on the Hill yesterday, and you know, Trump kind of put pressure on it. Rusty's one of those no nonsense kind of giant dudes, bald head, doesn't really take a lot of guff from people. He has saved the Republicans from themselves on numerous occasions where they've passed crazy bills. And he's like, no, I won't even advance this. We'll put this in committee for 5 years because you guys are. But he's an old school conservative. And he, you know, Rudy Giuliani was all over him trying to get this thing done. And what he said yesterday, I thought was very profound.
My recollection, he said, we've got lots of theories. We just don't have the evidence. And I don't know if that was a gaffe or maybe he didn't think through what he said, but both myself and others in my group, the three in my group and my council, both remembered that specifically. And afterwards, we kind of laughed about it.
Yeah, we have theories, but we don't. Theories don't count. Right. Theories don't. Like, you have to have the actual evidence to go from, hey, this is my theory. Now I've got the evidence. I'm presenting the evidence to you. Now you need to make up your mind. And so many other people are like, well, here's our theory. Now prove to us it's wrong. No, 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 no. It doesn't work that way. Prove to everybody else that your theory is right. And they had every right. I go back to this over and over again. Even the guy that's filling in with me this week, because my auntie, partner, is in Joliet, England, is, and a little vacation. He is left-leaning-ish, the guy that's filling in. And he's libertarian, I'd say. And we were chatting, and I said, look, if you woke up from a coma or you landed here from a different dimension or time or whatever, and you're like, there's 15,000 people in arena for this guy everywhere he goes. There is this guy who can't put 10 people inside of a supermarket parking lot. And the 5,000 people that came to the guy at the supermarket parking lot, 4,900 of them were this other guy's supporters holding up signs as he passes by, but that guy won. You'd be like, what? But when you take the whole picture, you go, okay. And I don't think for a moment that I don't believe Trump thinks it was stolen. All Trump wants to do is not lose. That's it. I don't even think he wants the gig back. Like, don't fight too hard, right? It's like, I don't. Why would you want that? Why would you want any of these gigs? That's a fair question in this day and age. Why would you want any of these gigs? Rusty Bowers, who is a conservative, listen to some of the stuff that happened to him. When he wouldn't buy into the BS because all he asked for was proof. More than willing. More than willing to listen. But when you say, oh, I got theories, but I don't have evidence, that doesn't count. But it didn't stop the mob.
It is the new pattern or a pattern in our lives to worry what will happen on Saturdays because we have various groups come by and they have had video panel trucks with videos of me proclaiming me to be a pedophile and a pervert and a corrupt and politician and blaring loudspeakers in my neighborhood and leaving literature both on my property but arguing and threatening with neighbors.
So the new world that we live in is that we're seeing it right now with the if you want to know what terrorism looks like, the insanity of what's going on with the justices, where people are showing up at their homes knowing A, it's illegal, you can't do that, but B, the threats that are coming from Jane sent us to you know, several other pro-choice groups who are showing up. And some of them are sending, they're no longer sending veiled threats. They're sending threats like, hey, guess what? We've attacked this place. And if you thought graffiti and arson was bad, wait till you see what's coming. That's the definition of terrorism. You're trying to use fear, right? You're trying to use violence and a scare tactic to sway somebody's opinion politically. At least Pablo Escobar paid you for it, right? The silver or the lead. If you've not seen Narcos, but if you, I mean, I was one of those, like my nerd stuff is I'd go like study and read all about, but that was Pablo Escobar's thing. Right. And he wasn't the first, but he was the one who mastered it. And there's still never been anybody like him. They all Chapo's the way. And there's never been anybody like Pablo. Pablo took down an airplane. Let's just to give you an idea of how evil this guy was. He controlled a country. But the thing that was crazy is, you know, in the Narco show, you he's driving and he's got, you know, like 18 wheelers in the cops or, you know, the army shows up and they want to see what's in the back and they roll up the thing and there's TVs and stereos and everything. And he's just straight out. This goes two ways. You die or you get paid. Which one do you want? Oh, that's narco terrorism. Terrorism is showing up at people's houses saying you're a pedophile, starting fights with their neighbors, threatening them, showing up at their house in the middle of the night with marshals out there, thank God, because you want to kill him because you don't like what he's going to rule on in the Supreme Court. That's terror. That's the definition of what you're trying to do. You're trying to use terror to sway politics. That's nuts. And that's the new world we live in. That's not healthy.
And with myself, I don't know if I should name groups, but there was one gentleman that had the three bars on his chest and he had a pistol and was threatening my neighbor, not with the pistol, but just vocally. When I saw the gun, I knew I had to get close. And at the same time, on some of these, we had a daughter who was gravely ill, who was upset by what was happening outside. And my wife, that was a valiant person, very, very strong, quiet, very strong woman. So it was disturbing. It was disturbing.
Yeah. And that's not right. And that's where we've gotten to and the hyper-partisan insanity of where we're willing to do and say just about anything we possibly can because our goal is to win an argument, even if you don't have proof for the argument. Trump had every right to challenge the election. Trump had every right to ask questions. But you also need to back it up. You do. And if you can't back it up, and you're backing it up as theories with no evidence, that doesn't count. It doesn't. You've got to have all of the stuff. You can't say my answer is they cheated. Well, how did you get to that conclusion? You know, one of the great mathematicians of all times, and I've always found this to be fascinating, was this guy from India. So you got this kid from India who was... he was a genius, like otherworldly. His name was Srivatsa Ramanujan. He had no formal training at all, like none, like lived in a small village, had no formal training, none of this stuff. But mathematician, math-wise, he was otherworldly. One of the things that they tried to teach him when he was at school, because he ended up going to school in England, is... you got to prove it out. Like you're looking at this and in your mind, then you come up with the answer. But how did you get to the answer is part of it. It's the same thing. How do we get to the answer? Well, if the answer is they cheated. Okay, great. Now prove out your theory. You prove out the theory. Like you would in any other case, right? You can't just go into court and say that person murdered my friend. Now he's got to tell us he didn't do it and show us how he didn't do it. No, that's not it. You bring the case, and the case is, we think this person did this. Here is all the evidence we have. We present it to you. We make our case. We let the jury decide. You don't live there, and that's sad. Not anymore. 323-538-2423, at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. And you know what? If you want to send me, oh, my God, you're such a denier. Again, the proof. It's all you ask for. Shouldn't be that hard. You ask a question. How do you do it? How did they do it? Do you have the proof? Not from some conspiracy website, but somewhere. Think to yourself, could I get a conviction in a court of law? And if the answer is no, then you have to go back to the drawing board. 323-538-2423, at Chad Benson Show, your Twitter. I was reading something yesterday I found very interesting, that vitamins don't work. Yeah, they don't, because your body doesn't absorb vitamins. You take those giant horse pills, right? You choke them down. They taste awful. And your body just kind of doesn't do anything with them. See, the nutrients and stuff that are out there, that are available, they work if you get them into your body the right way. And that's Healthy Cell. Healthy Cell is an ingestible gel, right? So it's this gel that tastes great. It's not, I mean, I eat it. So how bad can it be? I mean, outside of a peanut butter and jelly flavor, which I'm really trying to hope that they get for me, it tastes great. It's a little packet, a little bit bigger than a ketchup packet. Chop the top off, suck it down, and away you go. Right? Now, I take REM Sleep. I take Immunity Boost, which are awesome. And I take Focus and Recall every day. I feel and see the difference. Now, how good is it? Well, clinically, right? So you got doctors and clinicians working on this, and they'll show you and tell you the microgel, the ultra absorbent gel, it works in ways you could not believe. To get, because I take my Immune Super Boost every day, to get the same thing from just regular old horse pill vitamins, I'd have to take 15 large capsules, the strongest on the market. Nope, not with Healthy Cell. Helps my immune support, right? My immune response. It is incredible. Right now, ditch all those nasty horse pills that don't work. Save yourself money. And get yourself some Healthy Cell. Go to healthycell.com/Chad. Use code Chad. You're going to save 20% on your first order. Healthycell.com/Chad. Healthycell.com/Chad. Chad Benson Show.
Give me a bowl of chili with plenty of peppers.
One Mexican heartburn. Why don't you mugs grow up?
The Chad Benson Show, where independent, a la carte thinkers have a seat at the table and a voice in the dialogue.
I'll have what she's having.
This is Chad Benson.
That's me. You're you. Love hearing from you. tweet, text. Love hearing from all of you. Producer Phil, remind everybody about nature, what nature could do to you.
Nature will mess you up.
Mess you up. I have said this since I was a kid growing up. You know, you don't want to think about it. I surfed a lot when I was a kid. I lived near the beach. You know, just it was kind of what you did. I don't, you know, and I enjoyed it. We go down sometimes before school and, you know, in the summer and stuff a lot. I played a lot. As I got older and got really into soccer, I surfed far less. But I've always said, you go in the ocean, it's the shark's house, right? That's a given. But people are surprised at how close sharks actually get. And that's starting to be understood more and more as we tag them, including the great white shark.
Sharks are getting closer to crowded beaches than you might think. Scientists from the University of Miami say sharks are not avoiding the local shoreline. Instead, these predators are spending plenty of time quite close to the sights and sounds of the city. Well, you know, on a global scale, the world's coastlines are urbanizing at a rapid rate. So the question is, how is that impacting local aquatic life?
Well, they are impacted the way that everything is impacted. But how would we know? Because we didn't track them 30, 40 years ago. We track them now. I've always thought they were there, right? I mean, it's like shark attacks are nothing new. I've always thought they were around there, partially because you got seals and food that's in and around there. So where else would they be? And no, we're not food for them.
Researchers decided to investigate by tracking the movements of three shark species on or around the Miami shoreline. This included the bull, nurse, and great hammerhead. Considering the loud noises, chemicals, and bright lights, the research team fully expected the sharks to avoid South Beach like a politician avoids the truth. But that's not what they saw. Quote, "We were surprised to find that the sharks we tracked spent so much time near the lights and sounds of the busy city, often close to shore, no matter the time of day."
Yeah. And great whites in places like Southern California, they're finding them throughout now the eastern seaboard. But, you know, Northern California right there, they have what they call the Bloody Triangle, which is an area between like Fort Bragg down near San Francisco and the Farallon Islands out there. It's just there are sharks everywhere. And the reason is simple for great whites in particular is they hunted them to the point where they either left or they weren't around. Because they were gone. And it takes a long time for a shark to replenish itself, if you will, especially a great white. They're like 30 or 40 before they're sexually mature. So what happened? The seal population exploded. So there's lots of food. And that lots of food a lot of times is near shore. So, yes, there are sharks. But you're more likely to get hit in the head by a coconut than bit by a shark. So I'll let you guys know that. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter, your Facebook, all the other stuff that's available to you. I do TikTok. I don't like doing Twitter anymore. It's a negativity. I can't be bothered by it. I don't want to be bothered by it. I got other stuff. I like to be happy. Right? It's a happy Wednesday. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show. Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
You guys smell that? That feels a little desperate. Desperate? What are you talking about, Chad? They should probably get themselves an Eden Pure at the White House because I smell desperation. A gas tax holiday? What? Yeah, they're talking about a gas tax holiday. We'll talk about that a little later. I find it to be bizarre that we're even broaching the subject of the gas tax holiday, but that's where our administration is at this moment in time, trying to figure out how they can solve a problem by getting rid of taxes that we'll have to pay back later. And when it drops 20, 30, 40 cents, 50 cents, whatever, because maybe your state's participating in it as well, What do you think is going to happen when they try to raise the prices again and reimplement those taxes? Yeah, that's not going to go well. It's not. Something that is, oddly enough, advancing gun legislation. What?
In the Senate, 60 is the magic number, and they did four better.
The yeas are 64, the nays are 34, and the motion is agreed to.
Which means the full Senate can now debate and vote on the gun reform bill that would give states incentives to use red flag laws, look into juvenile records for gun sales, and improve mental health programs to prevent mass shootings. The full vote could come this week.
Yeah, and try to prevent. And all this is, again, on the heels of what took place in Uvalde, Texas, that was, it's indescribable. And the more that we find out about the failures of what took place there, the more the frustration is that people are going through the roof. The anger is growing day by day. It's gone from being a kind of sad and numb and shocked that none of us could ever understand to visceral disdain and anger, and all of it is absolutely warranted. It really is. It really, really is. The failure of these officers, of this Arredondo, who is the police chief and also part of the city council, is, again, how he has not resigned, how he and how they have anybody that wears that uniform there that was there that day. I mean, if you were on vacation, right? You know, I mean, I can't, nobody can fault you for that, right? You were like, I took my kids to Disneyland. I wasn't even there. But how you show up every day and do your job, knowing what the town feels about, and they have every right to feel that way, as do other officers. We had three officers in here yesterday. They taped some shows. And Jamie's really cool. He's one of the officers, one of the big officers here in Phoenix. And he's like, hey, Chad, come on, why don't you meet some guys? And I was talking to the guys, and their disgust for what took place in Texas is, you think ours, as the people that are debating it, talking about it, who watch this thing unfold, you think ours is, they look at those men and women, I'm assuming there's a woman or two on the police force, I don't know, they look at them with just disdain. How could you? You failed at doing your job, and you've lied. You continue to lie about it. This is Roland Gutierrez. He is a rep, a Democratic senator in Tejas.
I think it's a failure of law enforcement top to bottom.
Top to bottom. Doesn't get any easier than that. Failure, failure, failure.
Every law enforcement entity should have followed active shooter protocols. It didn't happen. We had 91 DPS state troopers on site. That's a lot of fire. That's a lot of ammunition. That's a lot of firepower, a lot of personnel.
91. Arredondo, who is the police chief, he's like, I didn't know who was in charge. What? You're in charge, right? This isn't the movies. You're not having somebody come in, right, in their black cars, and they take out their thing, and they say, hey, I'm in charge now. You local yokels, leave. That didn't happen. This is your gig. It's ongoing.
Since the beginning, we've heard half-truths come out of Colonel McCraw. We've heard leaks.
Half-truths? Wait, half-truths? How about no truths?
Every law enforcement entity should have followed active shooter protocols.
Every law enforcement. Yeah, the DPS showed up later, but they were there within moments. They were there in seconds. They were there. They have now gone to the point where we arrived. It was one person. We never encountered him. He was going in. We thought he wanted to make a phone call and try to, I don't know, get a helicopter and a bag of money. We didn't know what was going on, but nobody saw him enter. To, oh, yeah, well, we saw him enter. To, oh, yeah, not only did we see him enter, we engaged him. One person got in the room but was afraid to take the shot because they didn't want to hurt the kids. And remember how it started, too? It was like, we didn't have any guns. Wait, you had ballistic shields and you had long rifles and you didn't do anything? You didn't do anything. And the frustration is, based on that, we're having a debate on guns. Based on poor police work, cowardice, and somebody who was unstable mentally and angry and pissed off at the world, we have to debate guns. Oh, well, should you have a gun? Shouldn't you have a gun? Well, now's the time to have a real conversation. And finally, it's advanced. Now, what's going to come of it? I don't know. John Cornyn, Republican, powerful one from Texas.
Mr. President, 28 days ago, an 18-year-old young man opened fire on students at the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. He murdered 21 people. This was an attack that was so cruel, so brutal, and inhumane that it has brought much of our nation to its knees in mourning. Since the shooting, my office has received tens of thousands of calls and letters and emails with a singular message. Do something. Not do nothing, but do something.
And remember, here's a guy who is a Republican in a red state that loves their guns where this horrific incident took place. And do you think all 10,000 of them are Democrats? You'd be surprised. We talked about it last week. 250 prominent mega donors sent him a letter that said, do something. If you want us to continue to support, do something.
I don't want us to pass a bill for the purpose of checking a box. I want to make sure we actually do something useful, something that is capable of becoming a law, something that will have the potential to save lives.
Now, I don't know if they're going to get anything passed because now they're going to debate it, eventually go to the floor. They'll have a vote on it. Then they'll go down to the House. They'll kick it around for a bit. That's the way these things work. The next thing you know, they're like, we need to reconvene this thing. We need to send it to some sort of committee. What comes out of it, I don't know. But it's time that the adults started doing something. It's time the squeaky wheel, put a little grease on it. We kick it over to the corner. We tell it, you know what? You're done now. And if you can't behave and you're going to be even more squeaky, here's the thing I've always said when people, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. You know what eventually happens? I get a new wheel. Oh, yeah. Common sense and the responsibilities we have as Americans with our freedoms, our constitutional rights, those responsibilities come with big responsibilities, including understanding there are people who are not responsible. And to do all we can to ensure that those idiots and angry people don't get their hands on guns, which at times they're going to, regardless of what we do. But at the same time, we could try to make it a little tougher for them. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. Love hearing from you. Got some wokeness coming up. The economy, as you guys all know, it's doing something. KJP is going to, she's the spokesperson. She took over for Psaki. She's going to explain it.
And I know that inflation is your number one concern, but can you talk a little bit about if you're doing anything at all to prevent a recession?
We're in a moment of transition. We are in a unique situation with our with the historical gains with our economy. The way that we see it is unemployment rate has held steady at 3.6, which is also near historic lows. Business investment remains strong. Middle class Americans had an additional $10,000 in savings then before the pandemic.
Wow, even our economy's trans.
Another analysis found that all income groups had higher checking account balances at the end of March than they had pre-pandemic. So we see that the strengths that we, our economic strength that we have seen from this past year, from the action that the president has taken with the American Rescue Plan, the historical gains, that is going to help us deal with the recession. Right now, we don't see a recession right now. That is not, we're not in a recession right now. Right now, we're in a transition.
Again. Transitioning. Are we on blockers? Are we going to allow to compete in the next economic Olympics? I don't know. What, transition? She has no idea. They don't know. We won't know we're in a recession until we're in the recession because we'll be told, hey, we're in a recession. How do we know? Well, a month after the last quarter ends, we found out we were in a recession. Could we be heading there? It's possible. The gas tax things and one of those things where you're throwing something out there, and in doing so, your hope is, can I buy some time, knowing full well you're facing a midterm, and God knows, going into a midterm with a recession, an economy that's fumbling and stumbling, yet oddly okay in certain areas, is not a win at all. And it just smells of desperation. It does. It smells of desperation. Are you really doing this because you want to help the people? Are you doing this because you're so desperate and you have no answers to any of the questions? I think it's a little bit of, I think it's a lot of the second one and a little bit of the first. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet and text. Love hearing from all of you. All right, coming up. Got some Woke Wednesday for you. Plus, a little COVID. It's interesting what doctors are now saying and imploring the president to do about COVID when it comes to kids. And it's not what you think. We'll talk about that straight ahead. Chad Benson Show.
Deep states? No. Deep doo-doo? Yeah. The Chad Benson Show.
A little wokeness coming up in a little bit. I found this interesting. So, you know, they've got the new, was it under 5 to 6 months to, you know, when it comes to COVID, hey, you can go get that now. How excited people are about it. Oh, wow. You know, that's great. You know, people who's rushing out. Nobody's rushing out. Nobody's rushing out to get this for their young kids. And they're just not. And the reality is fairly simplistic. They're just looking around and go, okay, here's the simple explanation. They don't really need it. They don't. At this moment in time, it is not hurting children. Now, they could say, well, they could long COVID, could be this, that, and the other. It could be a lot of things. But we're not seeing that in children. We're not. So I was surprised that Dr. Jha, who is, along with a lot of other doctors, is imploring the White House, hey, let's get rid of those mandates you tried to put in. Let's get rid of some of those things, especially for younger children in schools. It's time for us to move away from that because they've been hurt enough. And we don't need this to be hanging over kids where they've had the start stop over the last umpteen, you know, months. What is it? We're going on. I couldn't even tell you what. Are we heading towards 6 months? Where you had a year and a half that was completely lost. And a lot of doctors have signed on to it. And said, yeah, you know what? You don't need to force schools to have these kids vaccinated. You don't. Let's not do this. Let's not do this at all. All right? Give the parents the opportunity. And parents aren't taking it. That's just that they're not. They're not going to take the opportunity at this moment in time because they just don't feel that it's a necessary thing that is really uber beneficial. Now, if you have a kid that is compromised, you have somebody in the house that's compromised, understand that if you're going to send your child out, the reality is we're seeing this. You're going to get this. It's going to happen. So be prepared. But I was surprised that so many doctors signed on to a letter essentially saying, look, you don't need to force schools and school districts and stuff to push this as part of the vaccine for the forever flu or the army cold. It's not beneficial. And the kids have been hurt too much about it. And when you've already got a vast majority of parents that aren't getting their kids vaccinated and you're going to try to put that on them for a new school year, that's just ridiculous. So we'll see if the White House is going to rescind some of those quote unquote things. They're very slow at doing stuff. I think we know that. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. What do you mean they're very slow at doing stuff? They're very slow. They're not fast. That's what I'm trying to say. They're not fast. speaking of the pandemic.
Mr. President, are you, I know you're looking for more money from Congress for this vaccine campaign and for COVID funding going into the fall. How many of the nation's kids will you be able to get vaccinated before you need more money?
Yeah, we do need more money. But we don't just need more money for vaccines for children eventually. We need more money to plan for the second pandemic. There's going to be another pandemic. We have to think ahead.
You're 200 years old. You've only been through two pandemics. Do I think there's going to be another pandemic? I don't know. I mean, are they going to be coming every year now? Is this we're going to get once a decade? No, I don't know. But I think that we have seen, unless this thing mutates into something just insane, I think we've seen the worst of it. And I think there are so many people that have caught it and so many people that are have some sort of immunity and so many people that, you know, that just really didn't affect. But how much money are you asking for now? And it goes back to what we were just talking about. Do we really need to push to vaccinate kids who are really not susceptible to this? I don't think so. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show's your Twitter. Tweet and text the program. A little wokeness coming up. Plus, we'll talk a bit about the gas holiday. Oh, boy, that sounds fun. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
Abortion. Right, you got all the stuff on everybody's mind. Pronouns, all of the stuff. But guys, no matter what's going on, we do recognize today is that day. It's that Wednesday. We get you over the hump. But one of the things we also like to do is remind everybody that it's Wednesday, so you better get woke.
This support group is for people who are so woke that they are finding it impossible to have any fun at all.
It's that time of the week where we break it down for you and get you woke.
Okay, everyone, welcome.
Are you ready?
Well, I try, but I find it deeply problematic.
Now, I've actually always wanted to try a cheeky little taste of acting better than someone due to something arbitrary.
You can try the patronizing special.
I think you find it's pronounced patronizing.
It's time for Woke Wednesday.
That's right, woke. And woke is everywhere. We know that, right? Like, how woke are you? Awakening to the things in the world that you need to be awoken to. Let's start. I mean, there's so many places we could head. But let's start first and foremost in the Navy. Yes, you can sail the seven seas. So what is the Navy doing? Well, let me tell you what the Navy around the globe is doing. Not this. Okay, because this is what we're doing. The language police is everywhere, including the Navy.
Hi, my name is Johnny, and I use he, him pronouns.
And I'm Conchi, and I use she, her pronouns.
And we're here to talk about pronouns.
Pronoun is how we identify ourselves apart from our name.
Using the right pronouns is a really simple way to affirm someone's identity. It is a signal of acceptance and respect.
If it's a signal of acceptance and respect, how do we go about creating a safe space for everybody?
That's a good question.
Yeah, you know what? When you're flying around and jet getting ready to fight the enemy or sailing the seven seas in a nuclear powered submarine ready to blow things up and potentially end the globe. What you're thinking to yourself, self, he, him, or she, her, he, him, or she, her, he, him, they, them, they, them, the Zizel. No, wait, I think that is, I think that's something for diabetes or something. I'm sorry, but they continue.
A really good way to do that is to use inclusive language. Instead of saying something like, hey, guys, you can say, hey, everyone, or hey, team.
Is that really inclusive? Like, if you say, again, it goes back to who's offended. Let me, here's a perfect example, and we touched on it earlier. Yesterday, we had a gentleman on who is a drag queen out here in Arizona, who was supposedly friends with Carrie Lake, who is running to be governor. She is, I think, in many cases, somewhat of a cheap ripoff of Trump trying to be that way. She was friends with the drag queen for 20 years, supposedly. And they've got text messages back and forth, all kinds of things. Carrie Lake's denying it, says she's going to sue the whole nine yards. We went into it earlier if you missed the grass on the podcast. But when I said coming up next is Richard, you know, a.k.a. Barbara Seville. That's her drag name. That's his drag name. People pissed off, right? Now, first of all, none of them part of the LGBTQ drag queen community, whatever it is. No. Just people who are pissed and angry and were mad because I dead named somebody. So I said, hey, Richard, let me ask you a question. I said, yeah. Said, you're Richard, right? He goes, oh, yeah, that's my name, Richard. Barbara, because Barbara's the character I play. I said, did I dead name you? He's like, no, you didn't dead name me because I'm still him. This is just when I'm on stage, this is who I am. And I go, right now, because he just did something earlier in the day. I said, are you still in your Barbara persona? So because I was going back and forth, you know, we were having a laugh about the whole thing. But people were pissed at me. What a POS I am. And their apologies were, yeah, I really shouldn't have said that the way I did, but still. And then he went off on, you know, several of these other people like, oh, so you're just saying it's a character that he's playing. So should we be mad at mascots too? And I'm like, you're so pissed. You can't, you're angry at everything. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. What if you misgender somebody? What will happen? Oh my God.
But what would I do if I misgender someone?
I think the first thing to recognize is that it's not the end of the world. You correct yourself and move on, or you accept the correction and move on. The most important thing I can tell you is do not put the burden of making you feel good about your mistake on the person that you just misgendered.
Oh, thank you for telling me that.
If you've not seen the video, it is hilarious, by the way. Oh, thank you for telling me that. But at least they were like, hey, look, it's not the end of the world. Right? Like, that's the beauty of that. It's not the end of the world is what they're trying to say. Of all the things they're saying, it's not the end of the world. And you can move on with your life, which is something, one of the classes, I would say, some of the classes they need to start teaching, right? Because of all the other insanity that they teach in school now, some of the classes need to be things like, hey, we're going to have a class today called Life's Not Always Fair and Get Over Yourself. You're like, whoa, what's this class about? Hey, sometimes people are going to be kind of bullies. They're going to be Richards. They're going to be a-holes. Get over it. Hey, sometimes somebody's going to say something and you are going to be offended by it. Now, you could go two ways. You could throw a massive fit and cause an uproar at your work or school, or you could go, eh, and move on. So these are some of the things we're going to teach you to just go, eh, and move on. I'm over it. Whatever. I don't have time for this crap. Those are some of the little classes like that, I think, go a long way in today's world. We're not done. It is Woke Wednesday. We like getting woke on you. How about some more? Let's do some more confusion with pronouns. So we just heard what the Navy was doing. So that was the Navy's pronoun 101 that they're teaching our Navy, not the village people. As we were joking around earlier, the actual Navy in itself is learning these things. Maybe they should have this person teach it.
Someone might use neo-pronouns because officially recognized pronouns might give them dysphoria, or using neos could give someone gender euphoria. I use them because they give me euphoria, because I really enjoy confusing people with my gender identity, which sounds kind of weird, but it gives me euphoria, so whatever.
I don't think you understand how euphoria works. I don't know you get this at all. So wait, you like to confuse people. It's a game. It is a game. Understand, it is a game. It is a constant jumping through hoops for a younger generation trying not to offend people that are already offended, and they're only looking to be offended. It's the person who walks around looking for somebody to look them in the eye so they can start a fight. That's what this is. Continue.
I really like using they, them, and fey, fair in conversation. And I really like using bun, bun, self, like if I'm texting someone or I guess just on the internet. So an example of fey, fair pronouns could be, I really like fair jacket today. It's fair favorite color. Fey like the color purple. And an example of bun, bun, self pronouns could be, bun showed up on my For You page today. Bun really likes using neo pronouns.
Don't have any idea what you're talking about. It's doublespeak. It's George Orwellian. It's insane. Bun Bun, you need to go away. Okay, that's all we're asking you. We've had enough of you. It's time for you to go away. Ladies and gentlemen, guess what?
This has been Woke Wednesday. Are you awoken to all the things that you need to be awoken to?
Everybody ultimately loses with woke.
If not, wake up!
Thank you, comrade.
323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. Love hearing from every single one of you. I do. So gas tax holiday, yay or nay, are we going to get it? That's a very interesting thought that, you know, it just screams of desperation. Like if you're in California and they say, we're going to give you a gas tax holiday, you're like, yeah! Right, because it's so ridiculous how expensive the taxes are in California. But you know what? You're an idiot if you continue to vote for it. They stole money for years, and then they're like, hey, guys, remember when you guys had all those high taxes for gas, and we were like, hey, we're going to put it into roads, and we didn't do that. And so we're going to ask you guys to raise the tax again so we can put it in roads this time, because this time we swear we're going to do it. It's Lucy with the football all over again. But 18 cents, is it really worth the 18 cents? We're going to have to pay for it later, right? I mean, we are. We are going to have to pay for it at some point in time.
With AAA predicting one of the busiest July 4th travel periods in two decades, President Biden is expected to formally call on Congress to temporarily suspend the federal gas tax.
I drive for a living, so every little bit helps.
The move would save drivers about 18 cents per gallon and 24 cents per gallon for diesel.
So now if your state, let's say your state has 30 cents or 32 cents, right? You know, let's round it up, whatever it is, in gas tax. And he's giving you 18 cents and your state was doing it as well. It's 50 cents. You're like, yeah, I'm not going to scoff at that. 18 cents for he's trying to get through summer, hoping and praying that the trip to Saudi Arabia and a few other things will alleviate this nightmare that he is facing, and it's just not going to happen anytime soon. And it reeks of desperation. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show, your Twitter. Somebody like, shut up, Chad, I want 18 cents. I do too. In fact, I want $1.18. I want $2.18. But it ain't happening. And eventually we got to pay the money back. And as we all know, government, they'll figure out a way to get it from us. Eventually. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show, your Twitter, tweet, and text the program. Love hearing from all of you. Roughgreens.com/Chad. You can go there, grab yourself some Rough Greens for free. Dr. Dennis Black put this together. He's a naturopathic doctor. He's done everything. Vietnam era helicopter pilot, decorated, flying ace kind of guy that's done all kinds of stuff. Green Beret, Ranger, all of these amazing things. But he absolutely thinks this is one of the greatest things he's ever done because he loves animals. Now, my dog Doodle, as you guys know, is alive and well. How? Well, it's one reason. We didn't change anything outside of giving him Rough Greens. We're going on 4 years now. He gets a scoop on top of his food every day with the vitamins, the minerals, the probiotics, all these amazing things. And it gives him energy. It helps with his pains because as he's gotten as older, his hips have gotten bad. He had fatty tumors in his hips. He is happier, bouncier, and healthier than he's ever been. Right now, they're going to give you a bag for free. That's right. The doctor, the good doctor, is going to give you a bag for free. All you have to do is go to roughgreens.com/Chad. Roughgreens.com/Chad. You cover the cost of shipping, you get a bag for free. Roughgreens.com/Chad. Roughgreens.com/Chad. At Chad Benson Show. Twitter, ChadBensonShow. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show, where we reach across the aisle and occasionally poke someone in the eye.
Beyoncé's new song, all about the Great Resignation? That's what the internet thinks about Break My Soul, which the singer released Monday night.
I just quit my job. I'm gonna find no drive. Damn, they work me so damn hard.
The memes flying past and furious, with people saying they're ready to quit Beyoncé style. And it's probably only a matter of time before we see TikToks mashing up the song with people walking off the job. Break My Soul is the first single off Beyoncé's upcoming album, Renaissance, out July 19th.
The Great Resignation, you know, it's interesting. The whole thing of the Great Resignation is interesting because everybody's trying to put together, what the hell's the Great Resignation? How is it we have all these jobs but nobody's working? Well, they don't count, right? So they're not unemployed anymore because they're not getting any kind of unemployment. They didn't go somewhere else. So what happened? Well, it's a thing I said from the beginning of the pandemic. People side hustled their way into, hey, you know what? If I don't drive, if I don't do these kind of things, I don't need to earn as much money. I don't have to have daycare or after school, be here for the kids or whatever position they were in. I can side hustle myself, whether it's selling things here and there, you know, an Uber, whatever, you know, here, like 2 days of Uber. Like there's a couple guys here at work. They have like three jobs where they're independent contractors. Like one of them, they have a job here where they work, but they only work like part time. So they maybe do 10 hours, 15 hours a week, board hopping, maybe helping out with the production and stuff like that. But I was talking to one guy, and he's a great dude, and he's like, yeah, I sell a bunch of these things, I do a bunch of this, I flip this, and I make as much money as I would when I had a job full-time before the pandemic. So what's the point of me going out and getting another gig when I can set my hours, do my own thing, I'm saving myself money, and I'm like, I get it. Trust me, I get it. Now, is it going to be that way forever? Well, what it is the pandemic gave everybody a hustler's mentality if you want it. Now, for a lot of people out there, it's tough, right? Because you want stability. You know, that paycheck every 2 weeks is nice. The health insurance is nice because it's expensive. Trust me, I have a family, and if you guys knew how much I paid in health insurance. The money I pay in health insurance is mind-boggling. To the point where I will tell you, I can get over a medium-priced home for my health insurance payment. I keep telling the kids, you guys better get hurt just a little bit, though. Yeah, it's not very nice. But if you could hustle, like if I told you today, you could work, you know, three jobs, 15 hours a week for each one of them, but at your own pace and leisure, right? So each one you might put, you know, that's 45 hours. That's more than I was working. Yeah, but hear me out. You're doing it from your home. You're doing it in your own time. You may work 3 hours in the morning. You know, the kids go to bed. You work 3 hours at night doing something. You don't do that for a day or two. You sell some things and you piecemeal together the same kind of money almost that you were making before. That's what a lot of people have done. It's the gig economy, but it's the gig economy on steroids. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, it is. So I think it's where a lot of people have gone. And I get it, you know, because people have asked me, like, if I didn't do this, what would I be doing? Would I be still, you know, I voiceovers. It's always been my gig. I mean, I'm always in radio my entire life, whether it's creative director, talk radio, you know, doing a thousand different things. I mean, I've been all things. And I love it. But, you know, I mean, I've got friends who do everything. And I've got some friends who worked in radio. And now all they do is gig economy. A little bit of voiceover, right? They sell some stuff. It's crazy. But they're doing good and they're happy. They're happy. And they don't have to answer to anybody. And at the end of the day, for a lot of people, that's what it is. They don't have to answer to anybody but themselves. Right? So, yes, they've got to pay their mortgage. Yes, they have to pay their landlord. But as far as to and fro, where you're going, what you do today, their boss is themselves. And once you're your own boss, it's tough sometimes to go back. It is. It is. 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Feel free to tweet at us, text the program. Man, that was a quick show today. Fun show today. Got you through the day, as we always do. Get you over that hump. We do it woke style, too, because it's good to get you over wokey style. You can follow along across all the social media because we enjoy that you guys participate. And remember, guys, it's you can be kind to one another, right? And I always have to explain this. Having a conversation, whether it's about abortion, whether it's about guns, no matter what it is, if you start out being pissed and angry and demonizing the other person, you're not going to get very far. That's all I'm saying. Just be a little kinder to each other. You guys have a blessed rest of your day. We got you over the hump. We will do it tomorrow. As always, my friends. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.